Hi, I'm Mike Kemistra, and I'm delighted to be able to talk to you today about the progress we've made on our acoustics technology. If you were at MR Dev Days last year, you may have seen our talk on Project Acoustics for VR. After that talk, some of you asked if it was possible to apply the same technology to HoloLens. Well, I'm here to tell you today that it is possible, and I'll show you how it works. But before we get going, here's a little about me. I've been passionate about audio for my entire life. I graduated with a degree in music engineering from the University of Miami in 2012. I then joined Microsoft on the Windows Audio team. I was there for about 3 years. And after that, I joined the Mixed Reality team, doing spatial audio and acoustics. I've worked on everything from MIDI to audio drivers to UWP audio APIs, and now spatial audio. It's been a wild ride, and I'm excited to show you what we've been working on. So let's get started. The first thing I want to do is make sure we're all speaking the same vocabulary. I'll give you a brief introduction to what I mean by acoustics. Then I'll get into the core of our session today, which is how to get Project Acoustics working on a HoloLens, and we'll end with a demo of the whole system working end to end. So, what do I mean when I say acoustics? Let's start with a sample scene. If you're familiar with Project Acoustics at all, this scene probably looks familiar. It's one of the rooms that we ship in our Unity sample scene. It's made entirely of wood, and I took the ceiling off so you can see what's inside. Otherwise, it'd be a big brown box, and that's kind of not easy to talk about. I'll use this scene to demonstrate different parts of acoustics. The dictionary defines acoustics as the properties or qualities of a room or building that determine how sound is transmitted in it. That kind of helps give an idea of what I'm talking about, but it's still pretty broad. Let's jump back to our sample scene and try to think of some examples of how this applies. So let's pretend that we can jump into this room in real life and walk around it. We'd probably start by going in the front and getting into this big room here. And if there was sound playing in this room, we'd probably expect it to be pretty echoey. And if I were to walk in between these pillars, I'd expect the pillars to have an effect on the sound, whether it was in front or behind the pillar. Maybe then I'd walk down through this hallway, which pops out right about here, and maybe eventually make my way into this back room. I'd probably expect the sound to sound like it's coming from this hallway and not straight through this big wall. Does that all sound pretty reasonable? Let's give some names to these effects. The first effect I'll talk about is also my favorite one. It's called portaling. That's the effect where you hear a sound coming through a doorway instead of through the wall. You can see it here. In the green, this is the portaled path. The red is the direct path, which you would not hear because of this wall. And this portaling is a result of diffraction. Sound waves can bend around obstacles in their path. As part of a sound being diffracted, it also has some occlusion effects applied. Occlusion is filtering as a result of sound interacting with its geometry. In its most basic form, occlusion effects can be modeled as low-pass filters. To demonstrate this, I've included here the frequency diagrams of some audio content. This audio content is just a drum set. And you can see in the unoccluded case, most of the frequency content is right around this minus 42 dB mark. I noticed that the axes here are a little bit hard to read, so I wrote it in for you. And then in the occluded case, you can see the filter is applied, and now most of the frequency content is down around minus 54 dB, while the low frequencies are still nice and loud. This is a basic low-pass filter. It's a lot more interesting to hear this effect, so keep an ear out for it in the demo at the end. The last property I want to discuss today is reverberation. In simple terms, bigger rooms have more reverb than smaller rooms. Things like the room shape and material makeup also play a part in reverberation, but in keeping things simple, we won't talk about that for now. In our sample scene, everything is wood and mostly rectangular, so the simple view works pretty well. I've outlined two different rooms in our scene to make sure that it's obvious this is a bigger room, so it's more reverb, and this is a smaller room, so there's probably less reverb. And we'll hear that later. Great. So now that we've talked about some of the most obvious acoustic properties, how could we simulate them in our applications? There's three primary ways that people do this. There's runtime estimation, there's some manual effects that you can do if you have access to the geometry at design time, and there's Project Acoustics. I want to spend most of our time talking about Project Acoustics, but we'll start with the first two just for completeness. So, when doing a ray trace based approach, you're trying to guess certain acoustic properties by casting rays starting from either the source or the listener. You look for certain conditions depending on which property you're trying to estimate. Starting with occlusion, the most basic form of ray tracing has you casting a ray from the listener to the source. If the ray can make it all the way to the source without hitting anything, that's unoccluded, and you can see that here in the green. If instead the ray hits something before it gets to the source, like this wall here in the red path, that's an occluded source. You can see pretty quickly that this is a binary field. You can't really have a partial occlusion with this, and you don't really get a portaling effect either. There's no easy way to figure out the sound would come here and then here. So you can try to improve this if you cast more rays, but that starts to get computationally expensive, and this isn't a ray tracing talk, so if you wanted to learn more about that, I'll leave you to learn about that on your own. If you want to play with some basic ray tracing, the Mixed Reality Toolkit has it available. It's not super well documented, but if you look for the Audio Influencer class, you can get started and see how this works. Another simple thing you can do with ray tracing is reverb estimation. To do this, you can cast rays from the listener in each of the cardinal directions, up, down, north, south, east, west. And you're trying to look for where the closest walls are, or the ceiling and floor. Once you know how far away the walls are, you can guess how big the room is, if you assume the room is a rectangle. And by estimating the rectangle size of the room, you can match that with a reverb for roughly that size of the room. And this is called a shoebox model because you're roughly trying to guess what size box, which people like to say is a shoebox. So it works okay, but there's a few things to look out for. For example, if your source and listener are in different rooms, calculating reverb based purely on the listener probably won't be correct. Also, as shown here, if you have some weird geometry, like in this case, the ray coming towards the camera, that actually goes out towards infinity. So if you don't have some special cases about maximum ray length or things like that, you can accidentally estimate a room that's infinitely large and then your reverb falls apart. So just a few things to think about if you're trying to do reverb estimation with rays. Moving on to more manual things are reverb zones. Now, reverb zones are just bounding boxes with reverb metadata attached to them. When the listener is inside one of these bounding boxes, it gets the corresponding metadata applied. If multiple reverb zones overlap, a blend of their parameters is instead applied. So I went ahead and added a couple reverb zones to our sample scene to see how it looks. I added one here and another one centered here, and you can sort of see the rough outlines of them. Something to note is that Unity only gives you spherical reverb zones, so it gets a little bit tricky to design reverb for spaces like this, where you have a big room right next to a small room and they're at different heights. You get lots of overlap. And like I said, every time a zone overlaps, the parameters get blended, so if you want ultimate control, you're going to be adding a lot of these zones, which takes more time. Something else to think of here is reverb zones do not give you occlusion or portaling effects, so you'll still need a different method to get those two effects. And with that, I want to pivot to Project Acoustics for the rest of our session. Project Acoustics is Microsoft's wave-based simulation solution for acoustics. We've been giving talks about Project Acoustics for a few years now, but I'll give a quick refresher for anyone who's new to the tech. Project Acoustics does an offline pre-computation based on your scene's geometry, and we actually use Azure Batch to do it so that you don't have to wait too long. But this does mean you need access to your geometry at some point in your design process. Project Acoustics operates on voxels instead of triangles, so that just means cubes instead of your typical mesh triangles, and you can see those cubes outlined in a wireframe mesh here. After we have voxels, we lay out a grid of probes throughout the scene, and we typically base this on the navigation mesh. But if you don't have a navigation mesh, you can just specify the floor, and that'll work just as well. And we call these listener positions probe points, and these are the solid cubes you see all throughout the scene. Let's look at what a single probe point represents. Here we have a 2D cross-section of a scene. The simulation is in full 3D, but it's easier to demonstrate what's going on in 2D. I marked a single probe point at location P. This would be one of those cubes in the previous slide. The simulation starts by triggering an omnidirectional impulse at location P and measures the response at various locations throughout the scene. I'll start the simulation now. Here we've arbitrarily picked locations A and B as measurement points, but there are many more. We'll get to that in the next slide, but let's stick with these two for now. On the right-hand side, you can see the signal measured over time at points A and B. These are the impulse responses for those locations. Impulse responses are a ton of data. To give you an idea of how big they are, if you've ever stored your music library in a WAV format instead of something like MP3 or FLAC, these impulse responses take up a similar amount of space. This is obviously not something we want to deal with at runtime in our application, so we compress that data down. Instead of directly storing the impulse responses, we can extract the relevant acoustic parameters that we've been discussing so far and save those off to the disk instead of the impulse response. For example, we can use the arrival direction and the dry level dB for portaling and occlusion, and we can use the decay time and the wet level dB for reverberation. So in this case, we only save 5 particular floats instead of the entire impulse response, which is a pretty good compression in data. There are more parameters in the Project Acoustics system, but because we're only talking about these 3 primary acoustic parameters, we're going to leave it there for now. But as I said, points A and B were just arbitrarily picked to make things simpler to talk about. For each probe point, this would be location P on the previous slide, we actually have thousands of locations that we take impulse responses at, and those are these magenta cubes throughout the scene. Each of these magenta cubes is a sampling position. We then do the simulation for each particular probe point, and that would be a few slides back. So every time there's one of these green cubes, we do that simulation again. After we're done with all the simulations, we compress the results down to a single metadata file, which we use at runtime to drive the audio renderer. So let's take a look at how that works. At runtime, Project Acoustics uses interpolation to produce smooth values as both the listener and sound sources move throughout the scene. Let's consider this source and listener pair, where the source is the sphere and the listener is the camera. We first start by picking the closest listener probe points, and those are the green cubes. So let's pick one, and we picked the one closest to the camera for the picture here. For each probe point, the green cube, we find the closest sampling points for the given source. So our source is here, and we want to find the closest magenta cubes, let's per se those 3. So we interpolate based on the distance from the source to the sample cube, and we get a value for this particular probe point. We do that again for each of these probe points, and then again interpolate the distance between the camera and the cube for each of these, and get the final value for this source-listener pair. And we do this set of interpolations once per audio frame. So if you're running at 48 kilohertz, which is pretty common, and your audio buffer size is 1024 samples, you end up doing this acoustic parameter interpolation about 50 times per second. So you can imagine that as your source and your listener are moving throughout the scene, you get nice smooth results. There's no random clicks or jumps or pops or anything. Great. So that's a very quick refresher of how acoustic properties work and how Project Acoustics works. So let's move on to getting Project Acoustics working on Hollands too, because this is really cool and exciting. As you're all probably familiar with, developing for mixed reality has a unique set of challenges. I've listed out some of the most fundamental topics here for us to consider. The first thing we noticed when trying to run Project Acoustics with data gathered from HoloLens was that the geometry was often noisy and incomplete. The CPU budget on the HoloLens is also pretty limited, so Project Acoustics pre-compute is actually pretty beneficial in this case. And if you're familiar with spatial anchors, you know about multiple coordinate systems, but I'll give a quick refresher here since it's important. And I'll finish up with how to share across multiple devices. Here's a picture of the scene I'll be using for the remainder of the talk. This is a theater on Microsoft's campus. It's got everything you'd expect from a theater. Lots of chairs, a big blank wall in the front, and we even have a podium and table peeking out in the bottom corner here for anyone who's doing conference talks. When we scan the room with the HoloLens, we see all sorts of weird things. You can see the chairs here are kind of blocky and triangly and almost look like abstract art. There's some holes in the ceiling. I'm not really sure if the floor is filled in or not because the chairs block the scan. It's kind of messy. And the walls, this is a giant 10 meter hole in the wall. So any acoustic system would have a really hard time dealing with this geometry. Lucky for us, HoloLens 2 comes with the Scene Understanding API. And this really cleaned up the scans. So you can see here, the floor is nice and flat, and you can even make out the different steps in the theater. The walls are flat, the ceiling is flat, The only complaint I have about this particular scan is the ceiling is at two different heights. It should be at the same height, but it's okay for the acoustic simulation. It didn't change the reverb too much. The one thing to note here is our wave simulation does model diffusion. So we did add in the world mesh, the noisy world mesh back so that we could voxelize the chairs and have the diffusion properly modeled. Just a bonus of our wave simulation. So we've done a scan and want to do an acoustics bake on it. Scheduling a simulation with Project Acoustics only works from within Unity or Unreal themselves. So we need to get the data from the device into Unity in this case. Now we could do this from Device Portal, but that's kind of tedious. We'd have to connect to the device, export the OBJ, save it to our computer, and import it into Unity, and then compile it into our app. It's not really a fun experience. So instead, we set up an Azure storage account and exported the geometry as an OBJ directly to Azure from within our app. This enabled us to pull down that OBJ file directly into the Unity editor without needing Device Portal at all. You'll see that in a demo in a little bit. But we're not quite done. Alignment is still an issue. This is tricky because the geometry on the device is in relation to a spatial anchor. So when we're exporting it off the device, we need to take that spatial anchor's transform into account. If we don't, we get something like this on the right. So we actually ended up exporting the spatial anchor's transform as a text file, just the XYZ, and the rotation. And then we apply that manually to the mesh here. But our acoustic system is still in a different coordinate system than the mesh, so it was still wrong. So we have to translate to and from the acoustics coordinate system as well before we're all set. So once we figured out the transforms, we were able to proceed with the process here. So we've got our data aligned and we want to do a bake. Rather than tell you how that works, I thought it would be easier to show you with a video. So let's check that out. Here I am inside the Unity editor, and the app is made with MRTK, so these buttons should look familiar. I'm going to go ahead and use hand simulation to click on the load mesh button and load up into our demo scene, just this demo water fountain, and go over to the scene view. So I'm going to zoom out a little bit and see that, yes, it did in fact load all the meshes. So we'll expand out over here to take a look at what we have. And each of these is an output from the Scene Understanding API. You got background, wall, ceiling, floor, so forth. And this big grid in the front just lets us know that they're all from the same space. So I'm going to select them all and mark them all as geometry. I want to do an acoustic simulation on them. And since I don't have a nav mesh, I'm going to mark the floor as navigation. Now here, I could go to the Materials tab and design each of the different sets of surfaces with a different material, but I'll skip that and leave them as the default for now. Go to the Probes tab and get this ready to do a bake. So I'm going to say Fine, I want the highest resolution, and click Calculate. So right now what this is doing is voxelizing the scene and then laying out probes and making sure everything's ready to be baked. So just take a second more here and we'll be off and running. Great. You can see this updated, and if we look at our gizmos, we have a couple little probes that we can see here, and when we move in closer, we've got the voxels popping in too. So that all looks good. Turn these off for now. Go to the Bake tab and see that we have 62 probes, and we have our compute nodes also set to 62. That's just to make things go as fast as they can. So all we have to do now is click the Bake button, wait for that to submit, and then we'll be good to go. We can come back in about 20 minutes and have our acoustics bake should be all set. And here's a view of that wave simulation running on the theater. This would happen as soon as I hit that bake button. And you can see it looks similar to the other one, but there's some holes. The audio leaked from the main theater room into this hallway. And it's also leaking to this outside area, which you can't get to. Now this is a problem, and we would ideally like to rescan to clean up that hole. But I left it in to show you that you got to be careful even with the Scene Understanding API in cases where there's adjacent rooms. You might sometimes get some holes because it doesn't know what to do with that. So on the right is another debug view. We just saw that in the previous video, and the only difference here is the probe points are not completely filled in, they're just wireframes. And that's just because they're running on device, we wanted to save a little bit of color. So we've got the scene scanned and baked, and we can realign it on the same device using the spatial anchor. But we want to be able to share this acoustic simulation with more than one device, and even smartphones. Here's a quick refresher on why this is challenging. When you launch a Unity application on HoloLens, Unity puts the origin at the location of the device. Let's pretend it's there. This is obviously not guaranteed to be the same across application launches. If I walk across the room and launch the app again, it'll use that new location as the origin. But let's use that for now. If I want to place a hologram somewhere based on Unity's coordinate system, we might get some random coordinates like 0, 1, 2. Now, if I launch the app a second time while standing across the room, it gets some other random coordinates, which are not super helpful. So that's why we use the spatial anchor, and we put the spatial anchor right on the center of the hologram there so that it can be recalled properly the next time I launch the app. But this only works on one device. So to get it to work across devices, we can use Azure Spatial Anchors. Now, I won't go into too much detail here because they also have a talk at this MR Dev Days, so make sure to check that out. But this is awesome because you get that same fixed world-locked coordinate system that you can rely on to be there time and again, but you can share it across your devices so all of your devices can reload the same data properly aligned. One last thing before the demo. This wouldn't be a developer talk without an architecture diagram, so I wanted to walk you through how the entire system works end-to-end one more time. So like I said, we start with a scan. We used HoloLens 2 for this, and we used a combination of spatial mapping and scene understanding to get a mesh with a spatial anchor. We then upload that mesh to our Azure Blob storage, and we store that spatial anchor in Azure Spatial Anchors. But now to do an acoustics bake on it, we need to pull that mesh back into Unity. We do the markup and the pre-bake, which is that voxelization and probe layout, and then we send the bake off to Azure Batch because it needs the power of the cloud to finish quickly. So we send it off to Azure Batch. And when we're done, that ACE file gets put back into Blob storage. Now we're ready to run again on device. So this is where you can either do it on HoloLens 2, or I currently have the app building for Android. There's no reason why it couldn't go to iOS as well. I just haven't done that yet. And you recombine everything. The mesh, so you can see the debug view, the spatial anchor to get it aligned. You grab the ACE file in, which is that acoustics metadata file, and we use Project Acoustics to play it all back. And with that, let's see a demo. I took some videos using mixed reality capture on a HoloLens 2. And so I don't have to talk on top of the demo videos, I annotated them. So check out the top left, there'll be some text saying what you're hearing. The demo is a series of A-B comparisons, first with no acoustics treatment, and then with Project Acoustics applied. Check this out.
Both the geometry and the materials for each surface of the world. This produces a simulation which includes parameters such as... In the real world, humans use audiovisual cues to understand the world around them. Acoustics provide critical perceptual cues about the surrounding environment. In virtual worlds, combining spatial audio with acoustics increases user immersion, similar to how detailed wall textures with realistic object lighting do so on the visual side. The approach to acoustics described here is a tool that analyzes virtual worlds.
Some resources on where you can find more information. Our main acoustics documentation landing page is at aka.ms/acoustics. and this has walkthroughs of our Unity and Unreal plugins. And as you're going through that, if you get stuck on anything, we have forms available over on GitHub. We're in the Microsoft GitHub account under Project Acoustics. And I have a link here to Azure Spatial Anchors as well, just because it was so fundamental to pulling this all together. But again, I encourage you to check out their talk at MR Dev Days this year as well. So with that, thank you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your conference.